Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. We'll read verses 15 through 20. And the reading and the message may sound familiar to those that come on Wednesday nights, because 2 Wednesdays ago, I did preach this message. I had a different message that I had prepared and had ready yesterday, but I did not have complete peace about it. And this morning I came over to church, and the Lord just confirmed that this was the message that He wanted me to preach. So if the Lord is leading in that direction, I definitely want to be obedient to it, because I even told the Lord, "Lord, I preached that on Wednesday." And He said, "Yes, you did, and I want you to preach it again, because there are some truths in here that maybe someone needs to rehear, maybe someone who was not here on Wednesday that needs to hear it, maybe someone watching live stream, whatever the case may be, God knows. We just always want to be obedient to His leading, and that is what I'm trying to do this morning. So Philippians chapter 4, I want to read verses 15 through 20. 15 through 20. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray one more time. Father, we ask that You would please have Your blessing upon this hour. Father, as always, we want You to bless the children in junior church, open up their hearts and their understanding to be able to learn the Bible lessons being taught as they learn them as well in Sunday school. I pray, Father, that You would allow Your word to take root in their hearts and, Lord, to be cultivated, to bring forth much fruit in their life, the fruit of salvation, but obviously, Lord, a fruitful relationship and friendship with Jesus Christ, the best friend that they can ever have, that will never leave them, forsake them, or do them wrong. I pray that You would bless their time in junior church. And Father, I ask that You would bless our time as well, as we, Father, want to hear from heaven this morning. We want You to speak to us. Give us ears to hear that soft, still voice behind us that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Help our hearts, Lord, to receive the truth of Your word. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged. Help us, Lord, to be guided. Help us, Father, be drawn closer to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you think about these verses, one of the most familiar verses, and probably one most quoted and most often relied upon, is verse number 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This morning I want to talk to us about our need and His supply. We always have a need, and God always has a supply. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he writes back to encourage and to admonish and to thank the believers there for sending for his need. They were always sending. They had a love for Paul because Paul had a love for them. Paul, if you remember, went to the city of Philippi, and he's there, and he's preaching the gospel, and he meets a lady by the name of Lydia down by the river, and she was drawn to them as they were there at the river praying, and she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a religious woman. She was a good woman, but she did not know Christ as her Savior, and then she put her faith and trust in Christ. Later, there's a young girl who's being used by two men as a fortune teller, as a soothsayer. She's there. She has a demon, an evil spirit in her life that is controlling her, and as she follows Paul and Silas, she's crying out that these men have come to bring us salvation, but she was doing it with the wrong spirit. And you read in the book of Philippians, back in Acts, Paul was grieved in the spirit, even though she was speaking the truth, but yet it was not through the Holy Spirit of God. He rebukes the spirit out of her. She's released. She is redeemed from that spirit. She puts her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then Paul and Silas, they get thrown in prison because of the good things that they're doing. And their backs are beaten, they're thrown in prison. And yet at midnight, we know that Paul and Silas, they're singing, they're praising God. God causes an earthquake. And there was a church that was established there because Paul was yielded to the will of God. And though Paul was hated by some, yet he did not allow the hatred of others to diminish his love for people, because he had experienced the love of Christ in his life as well. And he writes back to these people. I mean, we know of a few of them, but there are others in the church as well that are unnamed. But Paul writes back to thank them for the gifts that they would give, because they would hear of the things that he would need, and they, out of their love for Paul, they would send, they would meet those needs. And I mean, that's why, you know, that's why we support missionaries. That's why we try to help our missionaries on the mission field to meet their needs so that they can do the will of God that they've been called to do. But you know what? Our need, though, isn't always monetary. Our need is not always physical. But we always have a need. Every one of us have a need in our life that only Jesus Christ can meet. Again, as Paul writes to the church of Philippi, he says in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Again, Paul mentions what they sent to him, but he says, "My God shall supply all your need." And I believe that God can meet our physical need, our spiritual need, our emotional need, and our mental need. God can meet every need that his children have. And he desires and wants to meet our need even this very hour. So as we think about the fact that our God shall supply all of our need, I want to remind us and encourage us, never give up hope on God. Sometimes we have to wait. God is a very patient God, but we are not patient people. Sometimes we have to wait for God for what God's going to do. His timing is always perfect. God's never late. He's always right on time. But we believe that God shall supply our every need. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, as we think about the first need that God meets. Our first need that God meets is his presence. His presence. We need God's presence in our life. And we know that God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. We believe that he's always there, but sometimes we can forget. Sometimes our focus can be off and we think that God has deserted us. But Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." As Paul believes this, and as he is mentioning this to the believers at Galatia, he wants them to be reminded that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That it's Jesus Christ in you who is going to supply all your need. He's going to give you that inner strength that you need. He's going to give you that encouragement that you need. He's going to remind you of the love of God for you when you even need that. "My God shall supply all your need," and he supplies the need of his presence. There's just something about having the presence of God. And I hope that you have experienced the presence of God, not like the charismatics, but like Paul and Silas experienced. They experienced God's presence in a Philippian jail, even with their feet fast in the stocks, no way of getting out. They experienced God showing up in a very powerful way. And it may not be, it would be neat if God showed up and shook the place to remind us that he's real. Because I think sometimes we forget that God is more real than what we believe. Sometimes I think that we might forget that, yes, God is sitting high and lifted up on his throne, but he's just as close to me as ever before. Now, and with Paul and Silas, they're there in the Philippian jail. There is a temptation of despair. There's the temptation of getting upset and being bitter against those that have done you wrong for doing good. There is even just the temptation of wanting to give up and to quit and to question God. But Paul and Silas chose to trust God. They chose to praise God, to pray. And I would believe with all my heart, as the scripture shows, his presence came in that jail cell in a great and mighty way. And there's been times, I hope, in your life where you have truly felt the presence of God. Not just knowing that I know that God's with me, he'll never leave me or forsake me, but even feeling, as I said 2 weeks ago, God hugging you. Because you know what? God's real. And just at times where our children need our hugs to affirm our love for them, God hugs us as well. Now, I have felt the hug of God many times, and one thing I said a couple weeks ago was when I first went into the ministry, I lived down the street from my home church, and my pastor still allowed me to have the key so I could go into the church and go into the sanctuary and pray and take one of the classrooms and take some time studying whenever I needed to. And there were many Saturdays, many Saturday nights I would go down to the church with just a heavy heart and a heavy burden with the great responsibility that I had been given and go. And I remember this one time I went just heavy and I got down to the altar and just started crying to the Lord, just heavy-hearted and just telling the Lord, "Lord, I can't do this. This is just out of my ability. This is something that I cannot do. Lord, don't you remember that in high school I would take zero so I wouldn't have to stand up and give oral reports?" And I just remember that night so vivid where the presence of God came so strong in that auditorium. And to some that may seem strange and seem outfetched, but listen, we serve a living God. We have a relationship with a living God. And I remember him, the presence of God coming so strong in that auditorium that it encouraged me as the Lord spoke to me. And I started reading his word and just, I felt better. I felt, okay, Lord, this is your will, then you have to help me. But I remember another time where I felt the presence of God, and it was several months. I went into the ministry in 2010. I think it was the summer of 2012, if I'm not mistaken, where on a Sunday in between services, we would stay there at the church because it was 45 minutes from our house, and we would stay there until the evening service. And this particular Sunday, my boys and I decided that we were going to run some cable from the front of the auditorium all the way back to the kitchen. And it wasn't that big of a place. In fact, that church could probably fit in this auditorium plus the back foyer. But we got in the front, and I had one son that was ahead of me, and he was going over the rafters, and I was in the middle, and I lost my balance. And I looked down to where I thought there should be a beam and put my foot there and stood up. And when I did that, obviously all my weight caused me to go through the ceiling and drop 12 feet. Now, dropping 12 feet and landing, hitting the ground, standing up, all my weight on my left side, shattering my left heel, falling in between the pews without hitting the pews. When I fell, and I can testify of this, and it's just, when I fell and knew I was falling, I just felt someone put their arms around me and hold me as I fell. And you might think, well, if God was holding you, why did you still fall and shatter your heel? Because talking to the surgeons, they said the type of fall I had and how I fell, I should have done a lot more. My femur bone should have been up in my chest. But it wasn't. I simply had a shattered heel. I mean, think about just the fact that God does at times. He does. He comes in our life in such a powerful way. Now, we know that he's within us. We know that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But there are times where we need, I'll say, a reaffirming assurance of God's presence in our life. And just as a parent will do that with his child, or her child, our Heavenly Father does that with us. Our need is His presence in our life. Jesus said in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. John 14, 26, He says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Just the presence of God in our life. And if you have never experienced the powerful presence of God in your life, again, I'm not talking charismatic, not talking some out-of-this-world experience, but just God's presence, where you sense, you feel His presence with you, I would ask that you ask Him for it. Because there's just something about it. It just reminds us that we have a relationship with a living God, not relationship with a religion, but with a living God who sees me, knows me by name, hears my prayers when I cry out to Him. His hands often hold us up and carry us. His thoughts are thoughts of peace towards you. Every day He thinks about you, and I love the fact that He knows you by name. You know, when Mary got to the tomb and the tomb was empty, and she thought someone had stolen the body of Christ, and she's weeping and crying because she thought, they crucified Him, and now I can't even come and anoint His body. I can't even pay respect to the body of my Savior. And yet when she heard someone in the garden, she looks up, and she assumes it's the gardener and says, where have you taken Him? And she's weeping. She doesn't know who He is. She assumes it's the gardener. But when the gardener speaks and says, Mary, Mary, she said, Rabboni. I mean, she knew it was Him just by Him saying her name. Because there was something different in Him saying her name than somebody else. There's love and compassion and forgiveness in the voice of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Psalm 33 and think about the fact that sometimes we need God's protection. And God will supply that protection. I already gave the illustration of me falling through the ceiling. But when you look at Psalm 33, sometimes you need protection. You need God to intervene in a matter, in a situation. And sometimes before we can even ask for protection, God gives us that protection. Because God knows our life from the beginning to the end. He knows every situation that will arise in our life. And I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that He guides us. I'm glad the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that He's always guiding us, directing us. David writes in Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 20, Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in His holy name. David says, Our soul waiteth for the Lord because we know that our help cometh from the Lord. When you look unto the hills, from which cometh your help? Your help cometh from the Lord. Reminding ourselves that He's our protector. There's nothing to fear. Daniel, when you look at the life of Daniel, Daniel did not fear being thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not fear being thrown into the fiery furnace. It goes on and on of different men and women who did not fear because their trust was in the Lord and they knew God could protect them. Because remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they told Nebuchadnezzar that they were not careful to answer him in this matter. They said, Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace and out of your hands. And they told Nebuchadnezzar that we are not going to bow to your statue. And that just infuriated Nebuchadnezzar because he gave them a chance to compromise. He said, if you'll just bow down, then your life will be spared. But if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the fire. And they said that they are going to stand true to their God who's faithful to them. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ was in the fire waiting for them? Because when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he questions his own wise men and says, Did not we throw three men in? But I see a fourth man who is like the Son of God. I mean, God protected them in the fire. They walked around in that fire, and then they were called out by Nebuchadnezzar, and there was no hurt done to them. Their clothes did not smell like smoke. Their hair was not singed. No fire had passed upon them, though they walked in the midst of the fire. Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Daniel testifies that God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions, and they did him no hurt all night, spending all night in the lion's den. Again, we live in a world that wants to chew us up and spit us out. We live in a world that wants to consume us, but yet we have a Savior who walks with us and protects us. Again, whatever time you need protection, He supplies that because you are His child, and if you are His child, I'm glad that He has protected us from the greatest wrath to come. If you're a child of God and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you and I are not going to have to face the wrath of God, but we will be in His presence for eternity, experiencing the peace of God like we've never experienced before, experiencing the love of God like we've never experienced before, but His protection when we need it. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." And that's the key, is you have to have trust. Trusting God to truly protect you. Now, let me just interject this and say it. God's not telling us, He's not telling young people, just go and do what you want to do and I'll protect you. He's not telling us to go jump off a building and I'll protect you. He wants us to put our full faith and trust in Him and to follow Him, knowing that whatever He calls us to do, you think about missionaries that go into these foreign lands. I mean, you think about past missionaries like David Livingstone and others like Hudson Taylor, and even our modern day missionaries, that they heed the call of God and they go into places where they don't know what it's going to be like. They don't know what resistance they're going to be met with, but they're just trusting God to protect them because God's calling them to go to a certain place. He may not call you to be a missionary. He may call you to do something else, but you and I can trust Him that He will protect us, that He will watch over us, because every word of God is pure. God's not a man that He should lie. God is truth. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Think about this. You know what? This may end up being a two-part series. But think about this. Think about David. Young David had a heart for God at a very young age. And David testifies to King Saul how God protected him from a bear and a lion as he went out to protect his sheep, and he killed both the bear and the lion by the help of God. He testifies that God helped him, and he testifies, if God can help me protect my sheep from a bear and a lion, then He's going to help me fight Goliath that nobody else will stand up to. Because David was burdened in his heart that Goliath was blaspheming the name of God, and nobody was standing up, nobody wanted to fight Goliath. And yet David has such a heart and zeal for God that he was willing to go, and you know what? You can look back and see that it was God's will, and God was using David, because David was already, by this time, he was anointed to be the second king. And God was preparing David, and God was strengthening David's faith, and God was going to allow great things in David's life before he sat on the throne of Israel. But David goes out to fight Goliath with nothing but a sling and five smooth stones that he'd only used one, but he was trusting God, because he tells Goliath, "You come to me with all of your armor, your sword, your spear, your shield, but I just come to you in the name of the Lord." And the name of the Lord is a shield for us. Because when we think about the name of the Lord, we think about our Redeemer. We think about our Savior. We think about, and we can go through the names of God and the different names that He has and what they mean. But He is our strength. He is our peace. He's, as David says, He's my high tower. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's my salvation. So you think about, God does protect us, not just physically, but he can protect us mentally. Because the devil's always throwing fiery darts. He's always trying to find that weak point. He's always looking to see when we don't put on the full armor of God, and he attacks. And God wants us to be protected. Our need of protection in God's supply. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. If you would, go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 as we think about the fact that when we need strength, God will supply that strength that we need. When we need strength, God will supply strength for us. As you turn to Ephesians 3, I want to read Isaiah 41 and verse 10. The Bible says, as God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." If you cannot trust anybody, or I should say, if you can trust anybody, you can trust your Heavenly Father. Again, he's not a man that he should lie. People fail us all the time. Loved ones fail us at different times. But God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." Now, no doubt there are times where we try to help somebody else with encouragement in difficult moments. And we've been encouraged in difficult moments by people. And sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. But yet God says, "I will strengthen thee." Because God's strength is an inner strength. It's an inner strength that starts within our heart, within our soul. And God works that out in us, helping our life to be strengthened, helping our faith to be strengthened in the Lord and our resolve to continue walking with the Lord. But there's times where you and I need emotional strength. We need spiritual strength and mental strength, and we need that. And we can cry out to the Lord. Don't go to social media for help. Social media can't help you. I mean, I've already told you this before, but there was a young lady years ago that was on Facebook contemplating suicide and asking her friends. And I forget how many friends she had, but it was a few thousand, asking, you know, should I do this or not? And there wasn't a single one that tried to discourage her from taking her life. In fact, they all said, I won't say all, but there were several that commented back to her and said, "Go ahead, I dare you. Go ahead, it'll end all your miseries, it'll be fine." And she ended up taking her life. We need to go to the Word of God for encouragement. We need to seek God for strength. Because at any time, if we're feeling down, we're feeling depressed, we're feeling like people don't care, there's one who always cares. There's one who always loves us, and he manifested his love of Calvary when he laid down his life for you and for me. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So remember, you can get strength from the Lord when you're feeling down. When you feel like your thoughts are running wild, you can cry out to the Lord and ask him to establish your thoughts and to cause you to have that inner peace that only he can give that passeth all understanding. When you need strength, he gives it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The Bible says, "For this cause," Paul says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he tells them, "I pray for you." You know what? You look at Paul's letters, and he always opened his letters by telling those that he's writing to that he always prays for them. And Paul was a man of prayer. And Paul tells the believers at Ephesus, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He lets them know that, "I pray for your strength, that you'd be strengthened within, your inner man would be strengthened, that you would never fail to believe and trust that God loves you, but that you would be strengthened in the love of Christ. Because when you think about relationships, and you think about strong relationships that are strong and both, I'll say both parties, both people in the relationship have a strong love for each other. I mean, it seems like they're inseparable. But then something happens. One of them gets upset. And without working it out, it just continues to fester in their heart. And then finally they get to the point where they just leave the relationship because they see that's the only answer to make the way they're feeling to go away. And a relationship is separated. Because when you get down to the root of it, they started to believe the other one didn't love them because of what they said or because of what they did. Now, I know that there's hatred in the world. I know that people will do things out of hatred, but sometimes we make mistakes that we wish we hadn't have made. It wasn't made with hatred. It wasn't made with bitterness, but the mistake that we made with someone, whether it was something we said, we allowed our feelings to get hurt and the words came out that we can't take back. God wants to strengthen us from within to let us know that He always loves us. He's not human. He does not act like a human. Who God is, He's love. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And He manifested that love, right? That unconditional, that sacrificial love. The fact that He knew what He was getting when He called us unto Himself. He knew what He was getting when He called me, Troy, unto Himself. When He drew me unto Him, He knew what baggage I had in my life at the time. And He knew what baggage was in our lives, what failures we had in different things. And yet He still drew us unto Him because of His love. Because He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to restore our life. He wanted to fill us with His love. And there are times in our life, and as I mentioned, the young lady, I mean, speaking to the adults in here, and I'm going to say the adults that are, I'm going to say 30 and older. Do you remember? And you don't have to answer me. Just think. Because I can think back to my teenage years and my early 20s, the difficulties in life, the battles with thoughts, not being loved, not being cared for. Even there was a time in my life where I contemplated suicide as a teenager and popped some pills to take my life. And praise the Lord, those pills did not take effect. We remember the difficulties that teenagers can experience and even young people. And no doubt as you get older, it's not that, you know, now we don't have difficulties. But I want the young people to understand that the older people understand the difficulties you have as a young person because we've been there. But the devil is going to try to convince you that you're the only one and that your life would be better off you not living. But that is not true because, again, like we already mentioned, Jesus Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And we need to be strengthened in the love of Christ, knowing that, again, no greater love hath this than a man laid down his life for his friends, and Jesus laid down His life for you, for me, to give us an abundance of life, to give us a life that we see through the eyes of Christ is worth living. Again, you may not contemplate suicide, but you may contemplate giving up, thinking that God's forsaken you, thinking, well, the Christian life is too hard. Again, that's why Jesus said, I don't know if I wrote it down. Yeah, go to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to end with this, Matthew chapter 11. We'll finish next week. But Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28 through 30. This is why Jesus said he knows the difficulties. Remember, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We read the three accounts in Scripture where the devil came and tempted Jesus, first to turn the stone into bread. Then he tempted him on the pinnacle of the temple to cast himself down. Then he tempted him when he took him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in one time and said, bow down, worship me. But he also was tempted with hunger, with tiredness, with thirst. He was rejected, despised, hated. But he did not allow any of those things to affect him or cause him to quit and give up on his heavenly Father who had sent him to fulfill the Father's will of going to Calvary. So Jesus is our great example. And sometimes young people and older people may think, well, that's Jesus. He has all power. So of course he could keep himself from sinning. But listen, he told us that he had victory in this world and you and I can have victory through him because of the victory that he gained for us. But if you find yourself struggling, you find yourself wrestling, and just no peace whatsoever because he gives his beloved sweet peace. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus knows what it's like to live a life that's full of difficulties, but he doesn't want us again to live this life apart from him. He knows our need. We know our need. He has the supply. And he wants to give rest into our soul. He wants us to have that sweet sleep that he talks about. Because there are many times where maybe you've stayed up throughout the night because your thoughts have been troubled and you just haven't been able to get it out of your mind. And the Lord says, cast that upon me. He says, come to me. Don't labor over those things that are out of your control. Don't try to live the Christian life outside the will of God and outside the love of God and outside the strength that comes through Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. And listen, you and I may not be struggling with that this morning, may not be struggling with burdens that are pushing us to the edge of quitting, but we might know somebody that is. The Lord may allow us to cross paths with somebody this week that may need to be encouraged in the fact that you have a need and I know someone who has the supply. Again, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And aren't you glad that he is with you and he has everything we need? We say it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Go ahead and stand if you would. He owns it all. We often say that to somebody else that we're encouraging. Oh, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll supply what you need. But sometimes we forget when we're faced with the difficulty, when we're faced with the temptation that the devil throws those fiery darts and he wants to weigh down on us. He wants our spirit to be broken. He wants us to get to a place where we're not joyous in the Lord anymore. Remember, the devil does want to destroy, kill, but God wants to give an abundance of life. And David, after he admitted, after God sent the prophet Nathan to him and pointed the finger in Nathan's face and said, thou art the man, after his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and murdering her husband, though he did not physically do it, yet he ordered the killing of Uriah. Yet God gave him an opportunity to repent. And David repented, thank the Lord. He repented. And in Psalm 51, David admits his fault. He admits his sin, but then he asks the Lord to restore the joy of thy salvation. He says, don't take your spirit from me. Don't take your presence away. Don't leave me. Lord, stay with me. He says, restore the joy of thy salvation. God wants us to be reminded that he has our supply. And sometimes we need our love supply to be strengthened. The love that we have from the Lord. That, you know what? God has never stopped loving me. Even when I've made a mistake, even when I've knowingly chosen to sin, like David, God gives those chances because he wants to restore that relationship. You see that in Peter's life as well, where Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee and restores the relationship with Peter because Peter thought the relationship was done with because he had denied the Lord three times. Again, life is full of failures, but praise the Lord, it's full of blessings. It's full of God drawing us to him, reminding us that we have forgiveness, reminding us that we have grace and love through Jesus Christ. Our need, his supply. Father, we thank you for the fact that you do supply all of our need. Father, I think sometimes we don't bring our need to you. We don't bring what we need to you. We don't cry out to you. We don't cast our care upon you. And we miss out. We find ourselves struggling and getting depressed and getting tired. And yet, Lord, you stand there waiting for us to cast our care upon you. And I thank you, Father, you've given us the Holy Spirit to help remind us of the fact that you have the supply that we need, whether it's strength, whether it's more of your presence in our life, and whether it's love, being reminded of your love, whether it's rest. We need rest in the inner man because we're in a spiritual battle. You told us that we are in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle with the darkness. And obviously not us fighting it by ourselves, but obviously through Jesus Christ, through the armor of God. Lord, I ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, you would help us to hold on to what you have spoken to our hearts about this morning. And Father, you'd rebuke the devil that he would not snatch the seed out of our heart. It would not cause us to forget what you have encouraged us with through the Word of God. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.